Everybody good? Okay. Good evening and welcome to the April 23rd school board meeting. It's nice to see a big crowd here, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. We had a closed session where we acted on, well, we considered a student expulsion, stipulated student expulsion, which we'll take action on later. And we discussed anticipated litigation, gave direction to staff, and we reviewed a personnel item involving review and possible action on employment, dismissal, or discipline of a district employee, and we gave direction to staff on that item. Is there a consensus on the order of business?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we just, all right. Then we'll proceed to...
Wait, we got down here.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
We have shuffled it in the electronic version, but the printed copies that people won't show that. The resolution for classified position layoffs has been moved below the action discussion session so that you can have the budget discussion first before taking that action.
Excellent. Let's see. So, and we'll consider. Sorry about that. Stress always does this to me. So we'll consider a motion on the stipulated expulsion hearing.
I move approval of the stipulated expulsion.
And I'll second. It's a motion by Mr. Unger, second by the chair. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. Okay. And we'll move on to approval of the minutes of the April 9th, 2013 meeting. A motion by Mr. Buckman.
I'll second.
And a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any corrections, comments to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. And we are pleased to have, even though their name tags were very misleading, Scott Hicks and Jamie Clark with us to give us a report on Slo High and Morro Bay High. Take it away, Scott.
Thank you. All right, so my name is Scott Hicks. I'm with the San Luis Obispo High School ASB, and I only have a few notes. Athletic and Academic Awards is Wednesday on May 22nd, and we invite everyone to come because it's going to be a lot of fun. And we also showcase a lot of the departments at our school, such as astronomy, the whole ag department, and you know, just like the math classes, the English classes, yearbook, newspaper, all that good stuff. And ASB... Oh, it's May 22nd on Wednesday. I don't know of the time. Not sure. In ASB, we finished up last week with our executive cabinet elections, which are ASB president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. And this week, we're starting the elections for class officers, which is all those positions except focused on each class. And then after that, we're going to have commissioner interviews for next year. So that's about it. Oh, and we have prom on May 4th at the Officers Club, and that's a junior class fundraiser, and it helps them for next year. They have a lot of funds for all the senior activities that they like to do. So thank you. That is Slo High's notes.
Thank you, Jamie. Or thank you. Yeah, Scott, take it, Jamie.
Hi, I'm Jamie Clark, and I'm representing Morro Bay High today. I have a few things on our agenda. We have the FFA State Conference. They just came back today. They didn't have any state competitors, but came back with a very moving and positive outlook on the future years. We also just finished our program for every 15 minutes, which went really well. For those of you that don't know, that is an event put on by FNL, where they host a mock car accident and funeral for drunk driving awareness. Upcoming stuff, we have our band concert May 1st at the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center. We have prom, which is on May 4th at the Tascadero Lake House Pavilion. We also have this coming up Monday on April 29th, our school celebration assembly, which will be at 2:30 in the gym for anybody that would like to come. We will be recognizing our Distinguished School Award and all of our Teachers of the Year. On May 21st, we also have our choir concert, which is at the Performing Arts Center at Cal Poly as well. May 23rd is our open house, which will also be paired with our student recognition week. And we have May 25th, which is our band on the run. May 24th that night will be the pasta feed and concert. And May 25th, the next day at 8:30 in the morning, will be our 5K and 10K run for the Music Booster fundraiser. That's about all we have.
I just wanted to say I heard nothing but good feedback about the
graduation requirements and computer classes and among other things, and some important budget decisions too. But we do understand that you have probably piles of homework and other things to worry about too. So whichever is your preference, but thank you for being with us and sharing insights for what's going on in the schools. And next we'll move on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for people to speak to the board on items that are not on the agenda. And if there is anybody who would like to speak during this portion of public comment, do you have any, Jim, requests?
No, this is all counselor and budget.
Okay. Is there anyone who has something that's not on the agenda that you'd like to speak to the board about? If you do, please come forward. Okay, seeing no one. Oh.
I was hoping to speak now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Ms. Krieger, Liz.
Oh, please.
Please state your name.
I'm Liz Krieger. For the last 8 years, I've been a volunteer with special needs kids at Hawthorne School. And before that, for many years, I was a children's librarian for the public libraries and at Travis Air Force Base. First, I want to say, Dr. Prater, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, that I congratulate you on your prompt apology to the parents after another recent controversy. I think that was tremendous. You stood tall in that. And it must be very difficult for you and for all of you to make the decisions that you're going to make. I'm going to ask that you consider holding off layoffs of counselors and librarians for 1 year and give this community an opportunity to prove whether or not we could really come up with the money. I think we could do it. If we could build a pack, I think we could provide somehow the money for the counselors and librarians who are the oxygen for our teachers and children. I want to speak right now for a moment, and then I'll be done, about Sharon Hopp. Sharon Hopp is the librarian in charge of the elementary schools. Again and again and again, Mrs. Kirshner has called on her. I have called on her with wonderful Coastal District with our hands tied behind us because we don't have a Sharon Hopp on board for the elementary school children. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close unscheduled public comment and move on to official correspondence. There was a significant amount of correspondence related to the librarian, proposed librarian, and counselor cuts. All of those pieces of correspondence were distributed to board members, and I know I read them all, and I know my board members are pretty diligent about making sure we read everybody's input. And then we also received some correspondence that was a little bit later than after the agenda was first prepared, but I want to assure you that that correspondence has also made its way to us either by email, mostly by email form. So even if you got it in there late, and then Liz hand-delivered her email that kind of got there late. So, and we will get a state budget update from Mr. Miller. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, and we also had a letter from Ted Zamorano regarding the computer graduation requirements. Thanks, Jim, for reminding that. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's not much to update at this point in time. Most of the activity is being held in abeyance pending the May revision due out between the 15th and the 21st from the governor and what what additions or subtractions he's going to have from his January proposal for the state budget. So we look forward to hearing what he has to say in three weeks now. And I don't anticipate much happening in terms of Sacramento or anything locally for news in that period of time.
Well, thank you. And we will move to item 8.01, action on superintendent's budget recommendation, reduction recommendations, the second reading. Dr. Prater.
On April 9th, I presented to you my recommendation for the reduction of $4.2 million. And during that recommendation, I highlighted our proposal, my recommendation on April 9th. There were several points raised by the board. During that discussion, you mentioned that you had an interest in the impact on high school transportation, the loss of high school transportation. You expressed significant concern over the elimination of elementary counseling. You had questions about the budget process, administrative cuts, instructional coaching, professional development, school resource officers. You mentioned and had questions about furlough days and the possibility of early retirement. And finally, you sought alternative measures. And Trustee Buckman presented several ways that we could, over time, save money and as a district. And we're going to pursue those in the future months ahead of us. So while these recommendations that I put forward to you are painful to contemplate, the most pressing concern that the board expressed had to do with eliminating elementary counseling, and for good reason. And you requested in particular an alternative to perhaps reduce as opposed to eliminate. I have presented that tonight. And in this suggestion, you have the possibility or the possible consideration to retain two full-time equivalent positions for elementary counseling. It's the cost of such an alternative would be approximately $200,000. And we believe that we would then have the ability and the resources following such an action to put together an elementary umbrella for support, for elementary counseling support, along with some other creative solutions. If the board chooses this path, our staff would be ready to design the optimal program using all the available resources we have. I've attached the table. Nothing has changed on that. And for those reasons, I am standing here before you with my original recommendation. And as I believe, my original recommendation will still allow for our district to move forward.
And bylaws to limit public comment to 20 minutes total. Mrs. Roger expressed desire to waive that time limit, and I wanted to know if you would like to make a motion to that effect.
I would. I think we have a number of people present, and I'm willing to listen, to take the time. I think it's time well spent to listen to everyone who wants to address us tonight. So I would like to move that we suspend board policy that allowing public comment to be limited to 20 minutes and allow public comment to proceed for whatever length of time, but perhaps limit to 2 minutes. 2 minutes per speaker, because I don't know how many Jim's holding.
We have approximately 13 people for this on this item. I could see allowing everybody 3 minutes because some people did prepare.
Okay, I couldn't tell from speeches. The stack if we had 40 or we had 10. So
would you accept that?
No,
as
fair.
Absolutely. Okay. So a motion to suspend limiting public comment and to allow unlimited public comment of a 3-minute duration per speaker.
Okay, so
Okay. So we have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mrs. Eisendrath. Roger, any further board discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 7-0. Jim, would you go ahead? Folks, we'd like to have a person who's going to speak after the person who's at the podium, just kind of standing by, kind of an on-deck thing, pardon the sports metaphor. Those of you, I love the sign thing, or if you'd like to raise your hand to show solidarity with the speakers, that helps us go ahead and be able to hear their remarks and move in an efficient way and still be able to see what I suspect is fairly universal support out there in the audience, in the very large audience that we have tonight. Perhaps the AGP video guys could arrange for a shot that would show just how many people showed up tonight. So I don't know when they can arrange for it, but we'll try to do one. So, okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Our first speaker is Urania Cardenas, followed by Daria Hernandez, and then Jamie Fazio. You have on the podium three little lights, and it'll be a green light and it'll start to blink red, and then red light, your time is up. Su nombre, por favor.
Urania Cardenas. Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Urania Cardenas. Soy madre de un niño que asiste a la escuela Pacheco. Yo sé que deben hacer recortes al presupuesto y esto afectará a nuestros consejeros. Esta decisión me preocupa como madre y como ciudadana. Mi hijo ya ha tenido problemas de comportamiento en el pasado y la señora Robles, nuestra consejera, ha sido un gran apoyo. Nosotros por ignorancia hacíamos errores al disciplinar nuestro hijo. Lo hacíamos como se hace en nuestra cultura. Esto afectó la conducta y aprendizaje de nuestro hijo. Pero gracias a la consejera y a las juntas que ella hace en la escuela para educarnos a los padres, ya estoy viendo un cambio positivo en la conducta de nuestro hijo. Nuestra consejera ha traído especialistas para enseñarnos a ser mejores padres, para alimentación saludable, cómo leer a nuestros hijos, enseñarles modales y ser considerados con los demás, cómo hablarles y disciplinarlos sin dañarles su autoestima, y cómo prepararlos para que sean adultos productivos para nuestras comunidades y este país. Al despedirla todo esto se perdiera. Yo sé que los ajustes se deben hacer. Si la autoestima de nuestros hijos está dañado, es más difícil que aprendan. Ahora a nuestros hijos se levanta con ganas de ir a la escuela y llega feliz. Cuando tenemos un problema con él, la consejera está disponible en la escuela para ayudar. Solo la buscamos y ella nos atiende en ese momento. No tenemos que hacer citas o esperar una semana para obtener ayuda. Nosotros no tenemos dinero para pagar consejería privada. Hay más personal en la escuela para ayudar, pero la consejera es especialista en conducta y ella usa su vocabulario clave con nosotros los padres y con nuestros hijos. Los maestros quieren ayudarnos, pero ya tienen muchos alumnos que atender. Por favor, tomen esto en cuenta, que los niños vienen a la escuela de diferentes familias, donde hay divorcios, hambre, abuso verbal, mental y físico, hostilidad, alcoholismo, drogas, desconsideración con ellos, con nuestros hijos, y los sacan a relucir en la escuela. ¿Se han preguntado cómo le hacen estos niños para aprender? En este país, todos los niños tienen oportunidad de asistir a la escuela, pero ¿tendrán la oportunidad de aprender lo que les enseñan? Un consejero es vital para el aprendizaje de nuestros niños, que son el futuro de nuestra comunidad y de este país. Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Mr. Millar.
I'm going to briefly translate
sure.
what she said. Good evening. My name is Urania Cardenas. I'm a mother of a young boy who attends Pacheco. She understands that cuts need to be made to the budget and that it is going to affect our counselors. She's worried about this cut to counselors as a mother and as a citizen. My son has had problems, behavior problems, and Mrs. Robles, our counselor, has been a great support. We, out of ignorance, have made errors in disciplining our son, sometimes doing things that we know from our own culture. This affected his behavior and his learning, but thanks to the counselor and the meetings that she has arranged at the school to educate parents, we are seeing a positive change in the behavior of our son. Our counselor has brought specialists to show our parents how to be better parents, how to provide better food, how to read to our kids, how to discipline them without hurting their self-esteem, how to prepare them to be productive adults in the community and in this country. If you lay her off, we will lose this. Without good self-esteem, it's difficult for our children to learn. Now our son wakes up wanting to go to school and is happy. When we have a problem with him, the counselor is available. We don't need to wait for an appointment or a week to get the help we need. We don't have the money to pay for a private counselor. There are other staff at the school, but the counselor is a specialist who teaches us key vocabulary and how to interact with our children. The teachers would like to help us, but they have many students. Please take into account that the children who come to school come from very different families, some with divorce, hunger, verbal, mental, and physical abuse, alcoholism, drug use. Have you asked yourself, how will these students learn? In this country, all children have the opportunity to attend school. Will they also have the opportunity to learn? A counselor is a vital part of children's learning. Our children, who are our future in our community and in this country.
Daria Hernandez, Jamie Fazio.
Good evening. It's an honor to follow a speech so well written, KBN Etchell. I come here as a teacher. I teach kindergarten, and I'm not really here for myself. I'm here for all of the teachers in the room. I mean, from my heart, I'm speaking for all of us. And that is that given what Senora Cardona said to us about, you know, the types of students that come to school, with the way the world is right now and the emotional distress that many, many children have, it's like having fires start in the classroom. Our job is to teach, but you can't teach a child that has some emotional things going on. They just aren't open, the doors are closed, and they're there as a body, but they're not there to learn. And our job is to teach them. And it makes me think that, well, when there's a fire, we call the fire department. We don't put the fire out. The fire department puts the fire out. Our counselors are like our fire department, and they're the oxygen that she was talking about that we need to have to be able to teach the children and meet the needs of the children. And I really am, for all the teachers out there, what is it like in the classroom? Come on, we have to have that help. And unless you've been in the classroom, you really won't understand it. So for those of you that haven't been in the classroom, hear our plea with the need for the emotional need for the children to have that kind of assistance. And Dr. Prater, I appreciate that you have an alternative backup plan, which is something is better than nothing. But in the reality of teaching, it's kind of like, okay, sorry, Johnny, don't have your meltdown right now because the counselor doesn't come in until next week, so hold on a minute. You know, it's one of those kind of things that you might... I'm not saying I'm not happy with it. I'm just saying that you might need to really consider what those alternatives will look like and how much help is really going to be given to the children that need it. And how do you measure which school needs more, which child needs more, which teacher needs more of that kind of help? So it's a very difficult thing to measure, but please take into consideration that you cannot teach a child that is feeling closed. We have to have our counselors. Thank you very much.
Jamie, followed by Neil Oden, followed by Robin Hayward.
Hello, I'm Jamie Fazio, and in addition to the letters sent by individual members of the Information Services Technology Department, we as a cohesive team would like to reiterate how essential the full-time director position is to the health and success of SLC USD. We feel the board would be making a regrettable decision if choosing to eliminate the position and subsequently losing the esteemed service of Amelia Samoes. It is the hallmark of a top professional to make something challenging appear effortless. We all have no doubt that Amelia embodies this principle and likely the reason that many maybe underestimate the intensity and the breadth of the position she holds. A comprehensive understanding of the numerous, often behind-the-scenes jobs and responsibilities that Amelia juggles from day to day would most definitely show that anything less than a 40-hour-a-week position given to these duties would be impossible to fulfill them. It's the essence of time. I'm not going to delve into every single one of these because we would be here till morning. So instead, I'll highlight a few examples and trust you to believe us and me when I say that there are many more that I'm bringing up forward tonight. The daily operation of our district relies heavily on computers, network access, the internet, and many other technology applications. Amelia's played an instrumental role in establishing and maintaining this strong infrastructure. Allocating less resources to this mission will prove itself to be an interruption of smooth operations and persistent growth and progress of the district. Amelia is currently responsible for the management of hundreds of software applications and licenses, monitoring the consistently emerging laws and regulations governing online privacy and safety, and her attention to this detail minimizes the district's risk in regards to all these sensitive and complex matters that are continually changing. With her extensive industry knowledge and experience and forward thinking, Amelia has been successful in saving the district's hundreds of thousands of dollars. She is resourceful in her efforts to bridge the growing gap between state-of-the-art technology implemented in the schools and the out-of-date technology that continually gets older. And she finds useful ways to bridge this gap and continue to use these old, outdated technologies in saving the district money. Without the full-time support and leadership of an IT director, the district will struggle to sustain operation performance levels and offer relevant learning opportunities for the students. We believe it will become unrealistic to remain aligned with Dr. Prater and the district's goals, as technology is intricately woven into the details of nearly every single SLCUSD initiative as laid out in the strategic plan. We, as a department, feel the current recommendation grossly undervalues the essentiality of a full-time director position for the success of these said objectives. We hope that you too see the necessity and reconsider the elimination of such an indispensable piece of the education puzzle. Thank you.
Neil Owen.
I'm not really good at any of this, but...
Can you speak into the mic?
All right. I reiterate everything that Jamie says, but we rely on a director daily. And if you cut us to a halftime, we're inundated with dozens of people that tell us all kinds of different things. A director provides us with a direction and a plan. If we don't have it, this technology is going to just fall. I've seen it before under Gail Owen, and I don't want to go back. That's it.
Thank you. Robin Hayward, followed by Bridget Reeder.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. And I know you guys are facing a lot of hard decisions ahead, and a lot of people are bringing good speeches towards why they need to keep that position. I'm here on the part of the IS&T, which is Information Services and Technology Department. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your computer experiences. How many of you have had a computer fixed and had to use some kind of a support through your computer system at home? And you've had to call, you've had to wait, you've had to get support from another country, you can't talk to them. And, you know, I don't want our computer system to end up being that way, but, you know, it could. I'm not saying that it would, but I remember when I came to work here, we were on SASE, the database that was a student information system, and it was falling apart, and we were losing student data. And that was a scary, scary thing. And not only that, but we couldn't report to the state correctly. In fact, at one point, we weren't even going to report to the state because things were so askew. So needing someone to have a position that is a full-time position, or at least someone that is familiar with our jobs and our tasks, is very important. When you have a project that you're working with computers, it's really important that you have a leader that knows what you're doing and what you're standing for and what the concepts are behind it. And a new person may not understand all of the little intricacies that go behind each detail that's put together to bring that service to each of these individual computers that we take for granted every day, that we turn on, that give us all the software, all the internet, and everything that we use on a daily basis. How many times have you been in J2 and things have gone out? Who do you call on? And if you didn't have someone that was overseeing our department, would you be able to rely on a person to show up? I'm just going to leave you with that thought. And thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Bridget Reddy. And then following Bridget is Guadalupe Lopez.
I'm here on behalf of elementary school counselors. My name is Bridget Reddy, and I teach fifth grade at Bishop's Peak. It is incomprehensible for me as a teacher to imagine consistently teaching without the ongoing support and interventions provided by our wonderful school counselor at Bishop's Peak Teach, Mary Kay Stratton. As members of a civilized society, we must remember to help those who are truly the most needy. Children in foster care, the homeless child, the child being torn apart by family and addiction, the child of a parent who is dying or has died, or the child who is being bullied, or the actual bully themselves. It is our counselor who aids in the ongoing psychological and social education these children so desperately need. And please don't kid yourself. These children exist in our schools, in our classrooms, and thankfully in our lives as classroom teachers. The small amount of money saved by stopping San Luis Coastal's elementary school counseling program does not create a culture of care that we so ardently are striving for. Helping innocent children manage the emotional baggage that life throws their way allows them to thrive academically. Please do the right thing, and please continue to fund elementary school counselors. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bridget. Guadalupe Lopez. And then Lindley Sainsbury will be next.
Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Guadalupe López. Soy madre soltera.
My name is Guadalupe López, and I'm a single mom.
Tengo dos hijos, y gracias a las consejeras, mis hijos han salido adelante.
I have two children, and thanks to the counselor, my children are being successful.
Me han apoyado mucho a mis hijos. Tengo un hijo de 13 años y cuando se fue su papá, él me dijo que no quería seguir la escuela. Y la consejera me lo habló con él y conmigo y me dijo, mamá, tienes razón. La consejera lo que me dijo, razón, para yo ayudarte tengo que salir adelante. Y mi hijo ahorita va en la Laguna y lleva muy buenas calificaciones. Está en el hábil y es un niño que, gracias a Dios, él me dice, gracias a la consejera, mamá, yo seguí aquí y sigo aquí. Y con mi hija también tengo problemas. Y la consejera.
Her son's father left home, he felt like he didn't want to go to school. And the counselor helped him to understand that he could help his mother by going to school and getting ahead, being successful. And he is now at Laguna Middle School and is an avid and is doing well.
Mi hija va en la escuela Pacheco y ha tenido muchos problemas para que ella aprendiera a leer. Y ahorita habla español y inglés y lo lee y lo escribe perfectamente. Y creo que considere que las consejeras son la ayuda para nosotros y para nuestros hijos. Por favor, se lo suplicamos que considere.
And she has a daughter at Pacheco who was having problems learning to read, but now she is able to read in English and in Spanish. And she just wants you to consider the great support that the counselors offer to parents, and she begs you to please keep the counselors.
Muchas gracias.
Stephanie Ridley will follow Lindley Sainsbury.
Thank you, members of the school board. I just wanted to address you one more time on this very important issue and just reiterate that as a 15-year employee, I've never come to you to ask for anything, and this is very crucial. I'm serious when I say that. I'm not making light of it, but I just wanted to also reiterate that I know that this is an organization that has a very powerful leadership, and, you know, times of change call for dramatic looking at budget items and how we spend our money and being fiscally manageable and sound, and I totally understand that. But one thing that troubled me at the last board meeting that I just wanted to bring up is that when Assistant Superintendent Miller was talking about percentages and that we are 92% people and we need to get to be 87% people, and, you know, I have an MBA, and excellent companies don't go by the traditional numbers. They don't look at, we've got to cut this to have that, and And we're a business that only does service. We don't generate a lot of income. We have limited resources. We are here in the service of making people better people, and that requires a strong team. And we have that right now instituted in our counselors. It was an amazing find 2 years ago when my principal, Dan Peverini, came to us and said, we have this really weird opening for half-time counselor and half-time math TOSA. Who's going to fill that position? And, you know, lo and behold, we got Maribel Chavez. She has taught secondary math. She's bilingual. She's a counselor. And, you know, I can't think of one thing I would rather have in my classroom than her and her skills and her abilities. So, you know, maybe this is a year to say 87% is not the priority, and maybe it's, you know, we got to look at other things. And just know that, you know, as teachers, we understand your position. We value Dr. Prater and his leadership. It's been fabulous in taking us to the next level. We like the agitation of change. We understand that. But this is one thing we need to move forward. Thank you.
Hello,
I am Stephanie Ridley. I'm a Bishop's Peak parent. And in my letter for your last meeting that I was unable to attend, I acknowledge that I know that this is such a difficult situation for all of you to be in. I mean, for all of us also. And obviously, that still stands. Everything you cut affects someone's life, someone's job, and important school services. That being said, however, I cannot stress enough how important our school counselors are. They are not only important for the neediest of children, but for literally all of the children in our schools. To eliminate them, or even to only retain two, it just puts this massive hole in our schools that will follow our students for the rest of their lives. It doesn't give them this foundation that they need to be able to move forward. I'm a credentialed high school teacher. I've seen repercussions of this. I've been in districts that don't have these types of services, and it's obvious these repercussions that happen from them. They don't only work with needy students, but they also have so many positive outreach programs that affect, literally, like I said, all of the students on campus. Last year, my daughter was seeing Mrs. Stratton for about half the year, and it was nothing that would qualify her as one of the neediest. She was having these major tantrums and issues in the morning. So I say major and not neediest, but it's all perspective. About, you know, getting ready for school in the morning and making it out the door. And we were at a loss of what to do anymore at that point. And with her interactions with Mrs. Stratton and the things that she learned with her and her self-regulation, she was able to completely turn around. And those are such important things that we offer. I am literally begging you to retain our school counselors. We need them so very badly. The impact on our school by taking them away is just huge. I know the money has to come from somewhere else and something else has to be cut, but please find that somewhere else. Don't take our school counselors away. They make such a difference. We can't have that kind of a massive hole in our students' lives and their education. We need them to have this amazing foundation that will be with them not only for the rest of their education, but for the rest of their lives. Thank you.
Kayla Campa and Jessica Patton. Kayla Campa and Jessica Patton, followed by Jessica Estrada.
Hello. Like you said, I'm Kayla Campa, and I'm here with a couple teachers from C.L. Smith and our wonderful counselor, Maribel Chavez. We have a letter to present from the parents of the English language learners at our school, and with it are over 70 parent signatures in support of the counselors at our school site, and we will be reading it in both Spanish and then in English. Thank you.
So I will read it in Spanish. A la mesa directiva que corresponda, dirigiéndonos a ustedes con todo el respeto que se merecen, para hacerles llegar nuestra petición, que creemos que es una suma de importancia no solo para los estudiantes, pero también para los padres de los mismos. Quisiéramos que consideraran la importancia del trabajo que vienen realizando los consejeros para el mejor desempeño escolar de nuestros hijos, y quisiéramos que exista la posibilidad de que los consejeros sigan trabajando, brindando apoyo y no sean eliminados de las escuelas. Podemos ver que los consejeros no solo realizan una actividad, tienen un sinnúmero de tareas y proyectos, todos ellos con el fin de ayudar, apoyar y orientar a los alumnos para que tengan un mejor futuro. De antemano nos despedimos de ustedes, esperando contar con su valioso apoyo. Gracias.
Dear Board, we come to you with the respect you deserve to give you our petition, which we feel sums up the importance not only for our students, but also the parents. We would like you to consider the importance of the work the counselors do to help our students be academically successful. We hope for the possibility that our counselors continue providing support and not be eliminated from our schools. We can see that our counselors not only have one task, but have numerous duties and projects.
All of these tasks have the end goal of supporting and guiding our students for a better future. We say please support us and thank you.
We would like to present you with the letters. Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica Estrada, and then Julio Mora.
Hi, my name is Jessica Estrada. I am a mother of two young boys and a little baby in the back, her first meeting. I thought it was important enough to come out here and weigh in on keeping our wonderful counselor, Carla, and the others. I used to work in Los Angeles. Jackie Goldberg, assemblywoman, had an after-school program, and it was for four middle schools, and I was a case manager. The after-school program helped identify children that were in need, and then they referred them to me. It was me for four schools. It was a lot of work, and I never stopped thinking about them and working and doing everything I could. Problem is, at that age, I was going to emergency hospital because children had cut themselves. I was dealing with homelessness. I was dealing with probation officers. I was stretched out thin doing home visits. I had 20 cases. It was only for the child, but I had to help the whole family unit, and I'm sure she can relate to this because it's not just one person, it's the whole family. So not only do we need to keep her, we need more, which I know right now would be an impossible request, but do I need the filter? Okay, so I just wanted to say, just from my experience in Los Angeles, that it was a middle school level, and you know, prevention is key, as Maestra Hernandez pointed out. We need to start now in the elementary level. It's so important that we, you know, get everybody started on on a good foot. And I'm sorry, this isn't working. And so then we would be avoiding some of these even more serious problems, the gangs and, you know, as you know, all the problems that could surface from something like this. So for me, now that I have one child at Pacheco, one starting soon, and a baby following, I know that it's just essential. I really hope that these services will be available by the time my baby girl will be attending Pacheco. That's basically it. I also like to just say thank you for taking the time and listening to all of us and extending the minutes to do so.
Thank you. Julio, followed by Lisa Agenel.
Buenas noches. Señor presidente, señores miembros del board, señor superintendente del distrito. Estar aquí parado significa mucho para mí. Mi nombre es Julio Mora, ya lo dije. Quiero dejarles una reflexión.
Okay, so he's Julio Mora. Greeted the president, board members, superintendent, and he said that to stand here in front of you means a lot to him.
Soy secretario de la mesa directiva de los aprendices de inglés de DILAC y represento a los padres de todos esos estudiantes. Quiero decirles que ustedes y nosotros como padres tenemos una gran misión: defender a los más débiles y defender a los estudiantes que realmente no se pueden defender.
He is the secretary of the DLAC, and he represents the parents of the DLAC, but the parents of all English learners also, and he feels that both you and the DLAC have a mission to represent some of the most needy and delicate students.
Dos cosas quiero dejarles en su mente. Primero, la petición que se ha estado escuchando continuamente en este foro, que es no descontinuar a los consejeros. Segunda, apoyar, en este caso mío, pedirles a ustedes que no quiten el transporte de los estudiantes a las escuelas.
He wants to share two thoughts with you. One, he also agrees with the previous statements about keeping counseling, but the second one is about transportation and not cutting transportation for students.
Porque esto es como regresar para atrás. Y apoyemos la ley federal que dice que ningún niño se quede atrás. La idea es que si el transporte no levanta a los estudiantes como estaba, esos niños no van a ir a la escuela. Los consejeros no ayudan a los estudiantes si no hay transporte. Queremos las dos cosas, transporte y consejeros, que son la base principal en la educación de nuestros hijos.
He says he feels like we're taking a step back if we don't provide transportation. It doesn't go along with the No Child Left Behind policy law that we have. If we don't provide transportation, children will be left behind. They won't attend school, and if they don't attend school, then how can a counselor help them? So he believes that we need both counselors and transportation for students.
Hoy me salí de mi trabajo para venir a hablar con ustedes. Este es el compromiso mío y quiero compartirlo con ustedes, que ustedes entiendan nuestro sentir como padres en que nuestros hijos deben seguir yendo a la escuela y seguir recibiendo el apoyo de los consejeros que los atienden a las escuelas.
Today I left work early so that I could come to this meeting. And I just wanted to share that with you so that you understand my dedication. And get al final, señor. So please support the counselors that are helping the students and provide transportation for them.
Por mala suerte, nos ha tocado vivir estos tiempos difíciles económicamente. Pero, como en casa, tratemos de ajustarnos a la economía. Los recortes son grandes, entiendo y sé de todo esto. Pero en casa también buscamos la forma de limitarnos en los gastos para comprar lo más necesario. Y esto es lo más necesario para la educación.
He believes that counseling and transportation is some of the most necessary things we need. And just like in our homes, when we are faced with economic troubles, we figure out a way to cut in places but still be able to provide the things we think are most important.
Consideramos todos los padres que nos reunimos en las reuniones del DILAC es que ha sufrido los golpes más frecuentes la educación. Cada año nos reunimos para discutir esta situación y vamos viendo lo que es más prioritario. Nosotros sentimos en carne propia las cosas y les pedimos a ustedes, que son los que determinan, y que apoyen las peticiones que nosotros les hacemos a favor de nuestros estudiantes.
We as DLAC parents have been attending meetings, and we fully recognize and understand the economic issues involved, the budget cuts that our district is undergoing, but we ask that you please listen to our petitions.
Thank you, Senor Mora.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Dr. Prater,
San Luis Coastal School Board.
State your name, please.
I'm Lisa Ahanel. I work at Pacheco Elementary. I respectfully ask you to keep our elementary school counselors. I have worked in districts without school counselors, and it's a huge, huge difference. Here in San Luis Coastal, when I've found out that a student is living in their car, I've called the school counselor, and that's been more than once. It's called our counselor. She immediately hooks up the family to resources, but most importantly, our counselor works with the child. With minimal time out of class, the child is back, focused, confident, ready to learn. I've had children that are distraught because their parents are getting divorced, or just their parents are fighting a lot, or one of their parents drinks or uses drugs, an older sibling is using drugs. You can imagine all the scenarios because we know what goes on in our society. More and more, especially with financial difficulties and the more stress that we have, it happens to the best of us. The results are the same. We call our school counselor. The children spend minimal amount of time with her. She tries to pull them out as little as possible and then spend time with them at recess, keep touching base with them, visiting them during class time, just participating, but kind of keeping her hand on her fingers on their pulse, so to speak, of how they're doing. They're confident, they're calm, they're happy, they're learning. Our counselor is our family liaison, and these are families from all racial and socioeconomic and educational backgrounds. And in our case, it's Carla Robles. Our counselors are also our student lifeline to success, and these are the students that are going to make you proud, that are going to make us proud. They've got emotional stuff like we all do, but they're bright. They're just ready to help our society in so many ways. I would like to reiterate that I have worked without counselors in other school districts before. You do what you can as a teacher. You try to reach out to the family, but there's very little you can do because we're not experts. And we don't have that kind of time outside the classroom or during the time that they're supposed to be learning. Here in San Luis Coastal, and I've been in the district now for I think about 17 years. Before that, I worked for 10 years elsewhere. Here in San Luis Coastal, I've always had time to teach, and our students get to let go of their emotional baggage and learn. And so, sorry to be redundant, but I have to repeat what someone else said. I beg you to find a way. I know it's hard. I don't know how, but I beg you to look at it again and find a way to keep our elementary school counselors. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy Neuhauser, please.
Hello, Board. Good evening, Board and the district administration. I'm glad to be here again. I'm going to also beg for counselors again. I'm going to come before you again. You were given, told tonight that the possibility you had was to retain two counselors who could be part-time at the things, at the schools. You actually you have the possibility of funding all of them. You can, as the board, make that decision. And so I'd like you to look at that position. Let's talk about ways that you can fund it. You can cut some of the testing. Our first grade teacher is supposed to do 45 hours district mandated testing of her first grade students throughout the year. That is 45 hours she is out of the classroom teaching in order to do the testing. That is over testing. We're doing the SMI and the SRI. For the lower grades, third grade, it's a fairly useless test. Get rid of that test. Cut your Wi-Fi. You're talking about spending $800,000 next year on Wi-Fi. Let's put it to counselors. Cut your coaches for a year. Put them back into the classroom. Give the teachers a chance to take in what we've done. We have had an unbelievable amount of professional development this year. We've had reading workshop. We've had writing workshop. We're doing math during the school year, and we will do math again. Give us time to integrate all of those techniques into our classroom for a year before you bring the coaches back in a couple of years, as you have people moving out and you have new staff that need to be trained. There are ways to find the money for this. Please do not be penny wise and pound foolish on this. We at Monarch Grove are your experiment of a counselorless school. We have been all year with the model that they're talking about instituting, which is bringing in a master's student. Counseling is a relationship. It's a relationship with parents. It's a relationship with students. We've had a wonderful person there. She's not there full time, not even close to full time, and she's done, and she will disappear, and there will be somebody new next year. That is not building relationship. And in order for these to function, in order for it to function well with the kids, there has to be a trust relationship build up, and you can't build it on the model that's being considered to replace the model that we have. So, really hope you take a look at this and find a way to fund the counselors. You know, Dr. Prater, you offered to have a grand conversation with the elite school with Teach, and I really appreciated that. So let's have a grand conversation with the Title I schools and the rest of the schools that need counseling. And let's put this on hold for a year, and let's look at what the possibilities are, as Liz Krieger asked. Thank you.
No. Thank you, Jim Nett.
Good evening. My name is Jim Nett. I'm a teacher at Laguna Middle School. And like many people here, I'm trying to come up with suggestions on how we can help the board make this tough decision. We know about employment costs. We know about shrinking budgets. We know that this is a problem that's not easily solved. And I want to thank the board members for extending this time for people to come up and give feedback to you so that you can make a balanced decision on this. I've been thinking real hard about it as well. And in wanting to support elementary counselors, I also hope we remember about middle school counselors. There are 5 positions at secondary that are also being proposed to be cut, as well as librarians and other positions. And what I think is making this really difficult is we have a very short timeline, as things have to be decided in your next meeting or so, and we're looking for more money. Something I would like to suggest is we had talked about furlough days possibly being a possibility. I know for Mr. Miller that would mean negotiating with different groups, but it would net $286,000 per day, which would equate to at least 3 positions, counselors or other people. I have a better suggestion would be we've looked at cutting professional development funds for next year, pretty much gutting the money that was in the budget for professional development. But just this past calendar year, we added 3 professional development days to the teacher's calendar, paid days. I would propose that maybe we look at taking those 3 days off for a year, since we're not going to spend money on professional development any day, which would net the district $570,000 for that 1 year. Buy us more time to deal with this complex problem, because I know that won't solve the long-term cost. But I think it might buy us a little more time to look at exploring, you know, increasing revenue and all the other great things you hear. So I want to echo, again, the sentiment that's in the audience of how desperately we need counselors and the fight for librarians and other teachers. But being a classroom teacher, I could see that professional development could probably be done in other ways within the school year. We would have maybe 1, 2, or 3 less professional development days. But there's no way I can teach kids that need a counselor when a counselor is not there. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public input and bring it back to the board and open it up for discussion. Okay. Ellen.
There are just a couple of things I wanted to clarify right off or make sure that I'm clear on. One is Wi-Fi is already cut. We've cut $800,000 in that. That's already off that's part of the budget change. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, and we've also cut several of the instructional coaches. So I'm not criticizing anything anybody said. I just wanted to bring some clarity forward on the changes, some of the changes we've made, and that's just as we go forward here.
Ms. Sheffer,
yes.
If I might, actually, the $800,000 and the instructional coaches haven't been cut yet. It's our recommendation, and it's not been debated, so you can assume it's going to happen, but you guys have to act in order for it to become official.
I should say it's already on the table. That's what I should say. It's part of the recommendation at this time already. So, yeah, thank you. So having, I'm going to save my other comments for later and let.
Thanks. I was just going to bring that same point forward, that there was that there's already been a proposal to cut $800,000 from the Wi-Fi infrastructure. So that's, Judy, that's what I was trying to tell you right there. Thank you. That's all I'm going to add right now.
Seems to be a reluctance to discuss the recommendations here among my colleagues. We've been inundated with information and heartfelt testimonials about the importance of counselors, which, by the way, speaking for myself, was never really in dispute. So the question comes down to, what do we do about that $4.6 million? Because nobody wants to lay anybody off. And I can tell you what will happen in a couple of years. The county will be running your school district. If we don't, the state will be running your school district. Which will not be good. So part of this is taking necessary action now. And the reason why there's 94%, 92% of the budget is because when it's up at this level, we don't have any choice but to lay people off. In the past, where it's been down around 82, 84%, where it's more feasible and coupled with more reasonable kinds of budget cuts, believe me, we've been doing this for quite a few years now, you could absorb those cuts. We also bridged for 3 years so that we didn't have to lay anybody off. And the reality is we can't do it anymore. So large class sizes and laid off teachers. Try to maintain class sizes because that too is critical to education success for children. So we can't not do anything this year. We cannot not do anything this year, because next year it will be worse. And then the year after that, we the board will not be making the decisions. And none of this is something that we want to do. And trying to value one position versus another position, librarian versus counselor, are their jobs important? Yes, they are important. I probably am going to have to talk until somebody turns their light on, but...
I've got my light on.
So, thank you, Ellen.
Okay. So a couple of points I'd like to make as we take them to heart. This is a very, very difficult time for us. It's very difficult knowing that dedicated, trained, devoted individuals we're weighing their ability to remain employed with our district. And all I can say is that we take this very seriously. Having said that, at this time, I would indicate my support for the recommendations with the alternative as presented by Dr. Prater of continuing to explore a way to keep elementary counselors at some minimal level. So I know that something that was discussed before that I've talked with a couple of the administrative staff about has been that frequently when something goes away completely, it can be quite difficult to bring it back. So I would support making every effort to retain, even if it is just the two counselors, and figuring out how we can do the best we can with limited resources. I would support that at this time. Thank you.
I have to agree with Mrs. Sheffer at this time. At this time, with the alternative that we have on the table, we save something for the children. I'm also going to have to say I'm going to look at staff and ask for them to aggressively look at somehow of continuing the busing. It's just, I'm just not how we can educate children if they're not in the schools. I, too, have gotten the phone calls and the emails and had discussions on the sides of streets and in the shopping centers. And one of the thoughts I've had is I really wish our legislators were sitting in this room and could hear you and hear the parents and hear the parents speaking and hear the parents that have taken time off from work. I hear the teachers and I hear the children. They're silent. And we, all of us, speak for the children. And we're all here for the children. And this is really scary. This is really scary stuff for me. So I'm going to...
Every single day in my job, I see kids with mental health issues. I understand that. Every single day, I come home and hear from my wife, who is a teacher, about the importance of counseling and what Rose Fowler has done at that school, at Del Mar Elementary School. I've seen the letters of support from Bishop's Peak Teach for Mary Kay Stratton. I hear from the Pacheco parents how important it is to have Carla Robles, is that correct, as their counselor, not only because she provides services to kids, but because she provides Spanish language counseling for the students as well. And we know that it's disturbing to think that our Hispanic kids, our Latino kids, might not have access to those kinds of mental health services, and I would like to see us continue to look at that. For the busing, I'm with Mr. Buckman. I live in Los Osos. I don't know how kids are going to be able to get from Los Osos to Morro Bay High School unless we can do something about transportation. I know that we've talked about, and this hasn't even, nobody's even mentioned this, doubling the transportation cost. It's not going to get us very much. It's a little bit of money. But I am worried, especially for our Title I students, how they're going to get to junior high, how they're going to get to high school in Morro Bay. Judy, I appreciate your comments about testing. I guess my question is, and I would hope that the school district continues to look at what's the advantage of testing versus the data that's achieved in terms of student achievement. So are we getting what we need to be getting out of the testing? And I know, too, that with the advent of Common Core, there's going to be a lot of questions about what testing looks like. Are we testing the right stuff? Is there a need for a year's worth of, essentially, if it were a furlough of a year's worth of testing? And I know that Tom Torlakson, our state superintendent of public instruction, has proposed that. So I'd be interested in looking at that. For professional development, Jim, I want to respond to that. I'm not opposed to the folks looking at it, but I think that we have great, as I think unfortunate with education, what we hear is professional development for educators is always something that I think is downplayed. You know, we look at private industry, and private industry seems to value professional development for their employees, and I often wonder sometimes whether educators do, and we're in the business of educating people, we're in the business of educating kids, shouldn't we be in the business of educating our teacher association and the district? And there are consequences for that as well. And I just want to close with, I doubt very seriously if the May 15th, May 20th revision is going to look very good for us. I know that they're talking about $5 billion, I believe, in additional tax revenues right now. But I think we have to look at that as one-time revenues from the state, and I don't know if we're going to get any of that money or not. And if the local control funding formula comes into effect in some form or another, we know that we're going to be held at a level, basically what I would consider a minimum wage level for our school district in terms of per student revenues. Now, that's not to say that there aren't school districts in this county and in this state that have great needs. that aren't being funded well. And I go to Shandon, who has a high percentage of Title I students, a high percentage of second language learners, and who will clearly benefit, and those kids will clearly benefit. We will not benefit, and we do not expect that we're going to get that money back from the state. So the $4 million is ongoing. And finally, I just want to say thank you all for coming, and thank you for expressing your care and your concern about your school district and your students. Mrs. Krieger asked for a year to look at whether there's a way of raising funds in this count, in this community for our schools. I wish I could be optimistic about that, but I can't be optimistic about that. And I can't be optimistic about it because I know that in order for us to raise a parcel tax, which is really what we're talking about, we would need 66% of the voters to approve that. I will tell you that, and I believe it was 2002, when we put a parcel tax in front of the idea of a parcel tax in front of this community at, I think, Walter, wasn't it $60 a year? The cost of going out to dinner with your spouse, we had 66% of the people before the no campaign even started. There was no way it was going to be approved in this town. And in Los Osos, which is facing a huge burden over the sewers, and in Morro Bay, which is going to be facing a $40 million budget over their sewer problem too. I would like to see that happening. I think that's something we'll need to investigate. But unless the property tax threshold is lowered to 55%, which is a constitutional revision which requires a vote of the people, I don't know that we're going to see that. And we're not going to see that in time for anything we're going to need to do. Will tell us what to do. That's fact. We know that the grand jury in this county has spoken, and they've spoken in Paso Robles, which almost went bankrupt and almost was taken over by the state. Only by the skin of their teeth did they escape that. Paso Robles, 10 furlough days. That's not okay. We can't go down that road. Thank you.
Two full-time equivalents, which are not necessarily two individuals, maybe a configuration of different individuals who can serve these needs. And that those individuals will work hand-in-hand with the people we have on staff. We have our resource centers on the coast and our resource center in San Luis Obispo to help those individuals find the resources for our needy families and children in the community as well. So there is a plan that's being put together to support this newly revamped idea. And so I appreciate the thought that's going into that and the opportunity to weigh in on that. For my own sake, I would just like to say that I very much appreciate your coming out and speaking with us tonight. And I just hope that you understand that underlying this is our quest for excellence in teaching. And we have to weigh each of these decisions against that. And one of the things Mr. Unger was just saying is that as we make each of these decisions, then we have to make a decision about, do we increase class sizes, and how does that impact on the excellence in teaching? Do we shorten the school year with furloughs, and how does that influence our excellent teaching? So our mission is to provide that for you and your children, and also to provide for their socialization to the extent that we can, as well as providing for excellent teaching. And in regards to, these are all very painful cuts. The librarians, the IT, it's all very painful to us. None of this is
anything that we want to do, but that we feel that...
Repeating many things that were said. First of all, I want to thank the parents that came tonight, those of you who spoke to us in English and those of you who spoke to us in Spanish. I want to thank the teachers that are here and the other community supporters that are here. I've read numerous emails, and You've made me much more aware of the role of the elementary counselor. Of course, I too, when I go home, have to deal with my wife, who works extensively with the counselors at the coast and in town, helping them provide services to the families of the students here at San Luis Coastal. This is hard for me to look at my former colleagues. This is hard for me to look at the parents and say that we have to make these cuts. Last night, Mr. Buckman and I went to a county program on talking about the fiscal responsibilities of school board members and going over just what can happen to a school district that fails to deal with their deficits. Mr. Unger explained that, and I think enough detail for all of us to get the picture. So with these things in mind, and again, grateful and admirable and with admiration for the people here, for the teachers, for the parents, I'm going to support the superintendent's recommendation.
Not necessarily, but go ahead.
I'm almost always the last guy. Well, thank you for coming. As my colleagues have said, I appreciate that people took the time to come out. And I, too, have read all the emails. And I would echo that these are difficult, very difficult decisions to have to make. As board members, we do have both a fiduciary responsibility to the solvency of the district and a responsibility to the parents and students to see that we can give them the best quality education that's possible for us. I have been really distressed by the thought of the cuts to elementary counseling, and I'm grateful that our request PEs, and I don't pretend to know enough that I would try to direct staff how to allocate those counselors, but I've expressed very strongly my lay person's belief that our Title I schools are the areas of greatest need for counseling services. So if we have to spread three people around, it seems to me that that's where we have our concentrations of low socioeconomic students and English language learners. Though I know all of our schools have students that have need, I'm not at all in denial about that. So given that amendment, and acknowledging that this is a real gutting of classified employees as well, potentially, and I want to make sure that I mention that, because I've sat with the SEIU group and they are taking a very, very hard hit potentially in these cuts, and they have been admirably stoic about what's happening in their ranks, and I respect them very much. Given the amendment, I'm prepared to support the budget recommendations.
Okay, I think we're drawing to a conclusion on the discussion. There is one item. First of all, the transportation, secondary transportation, or high school transportation, is a $550,000 savings. So I couldn't support retaining that, but I would like the staff to ensure that there is a Morro Bay Los Osos transportation, even if we end up having to run a bus to make sure that problem doesn't create a barrier to students.
We concur. We just needed to know where the board was going to land before we move forward with the next steps. There must be a transportation loop between Los Osos and Morro Bay. Otherwise, we're going to have to come back to you.
Excuse me. So,
I'd move to adopt the superintendent's budget recommendation with the following revisions: retain two FTE pursuant to the superintendent's amended recommendation. And I'm reading this. It's understood there will still be negotiations with the bargaining units on the effects of the ensuing layoff, and that this allows the superintendent and the staff leeway in working out the details. I'm sorry, two FTE counselors.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I should have, my bad. And Ellen, is that
okay? Okay, Kim, are you clear with that now? Could you read that back?
Approve the superintendent's recommendation to reduce the 13-14 budget by $4.2 million with a revision to retain two FTE elementary counselors according to the superintendent's proposal. I think the rest of those instructions about leeway are not necessary in the motion itself.
And Ellen, are you still providing a second for that amended motion?
Okay.
So we have a motion by Mr. Unger and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. And the piece as far as transportation between Los Osos and Morro Bay will be instruction to staff. So. Okay, any further discussion about this recommendation or about the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. Do we want to take a brief recess? Okay, we'll be in recess for 5 minutes. Okay, we're back to continue with the agenda. I'm sure we have a low energy level and pretty much just would like to take care of the rest of the business and go home. And next is additional new and modified secondary courses. Dr. Delkoskampen, thank you for doing that translation, Rita. That helped quite a bit.
Okay. All right. The good news is the visual and performing arts standards, and so we will be seeking A to G approval for that course. In addition, San Luis Obispo High School is going to be offering two new AP courses. That's Physics B and Statistics AP, and so they are requesting seminars for those courses. That means it's a third trimester course in which students are able to study and prepare for the test, and then after the test they are able to work on more challenging projects. And then the final new course proposal is biotechnology, but this is an honors version. You previously approved a college prep version of this course, and Stephen Gady, the teacher who spoke with you last time, has prepared an honors version of the course to also be able to offer to students.
He brought quite a bit of talent and tools with him when he came to our district. And so these courses are not specifically related to our other discussions, graduation requirements.
No, they're not.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure about that. Catherine?
Both of those courses, I'm told, are not in the plans to offer next year, but to offer the following year. And yes, for now at Morro Bay High School, but like all courses, they can be offered at SLO High School and vice versa at any time as long as they're approved by you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? And thank you for not asking for money. Good. Thank you, Chris. And is there anyone from the public who wants to comment on this item? Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board. Are we looking for action tonight on this item? Okay. Any discussion, board members?
No.
Okay. Ellen?
I would move approval of the proposed new modified/modified secondary courses as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, further discussion? I have a motion by Mrs. Sheffer and a second by Mr. Questenberry. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0.
I want to acknowledge two of our bus drivers that are here tonight. So we hardly ever get them here, and we thank you for coming. If you just like wave your hand, thank you.
Also, and determined that we're not quite meeting the needs of all of our students with the current computer applications requirement as it exists. And so we discussed a proposal to broaden the options that students could have in order to meet that computer applications graduation requirement. And so what we did was we had suggestions about, well, what kinds of courses would meet the, what criteria would need to be met by courses in order to satisfy that. And so on your agenda item, you notice that the criteria we discussed was that computer use should be the primary instructional tool for the course, that students should use three or more software programs. And then we also introduced the Common Core Standard in regards to technology that says students should be able to use technology, including the internet, to publish, to share work, and to display their work dynamically and flexibly. So we came up with that criteria, and then we came up with a list of courses that we thought could meet that criteria, and that's what you have. Attached is a list of 21 courses that we believe could meet a technology literacy graduation requirement. We recognize that technology literacy isn't, I guess, is becoming a broader definition. Technology, we can no longer just limit technology literacy to what is included in our computer applications class, which is working with Microsoft Office suites like Word and Excel, also Access. And so we determined that we needed to broaden that definition. Just as technology continues to evolve, we should also do that with this graduation requirement. And so tonight, with this item is requesting from you is approval that the list we provide of those courses could satisfy the technology literacy graduation requirement, which is currently called computer applications.
Mark.
Yeah, Rita, this is exciting. For me, there's a lot of ROP on here, which is always good to see, but and a lot of exciting stuff. But my question goes to
this class.
But is that an option or is that a mandatory? It's just one option, isn't it?
It would be one of the options. So yes, students who feel they have that need. What we're finding is some students feel they have enough of a base understanding of some of those areas and would like to explore other areas of technology and will use those. A lot of times what happens is students will learn something when they need it, as opposed to being taught it sequentially, whether they need it or not. So I'm happy to say we still offer ROP computer applications. We also have introduction to computers on there. It just provides a variety of courses to help meet the needs of students who are coming to us with different abilities in this area.
So when I was in college, there was a class I wanted to take. And I could never take it because I never could work the prerequisite into my schedule. So is the concept of prerequisite ever used in secondary? I think it is. And
yes,
I know it is
in
ROP.
And some of these courses have prerequisites and some of them don't. For example, the new course that says they're pending board approval that could meet this one, which you just approved, doesn't have any prerequisites.
Right.
And there are others that do.
So embedded in these, or is there a thought, or can we discuss having a prerequisite of just so many hours of doing the basic programs. Because some of these are exciting, but I don't think all of these, and I'm just going back to myself, don't require Excel. So if we're going to use desktop publishing, you don't need Excel. But when you get out and look at the jobs that are available in the community, Microsoft Office suites.
I think what you're asking is maybe you want us to modify the criteria we've developed. Do you want it to be more specific? Here we have students will use three or more software programs. And some of them, they will use Excel. And in some, they won't.
Oh, please. I think you've capturing what I'm trying to say. But again, I'm one board member, and a lot of work's gone into this, so I may just need to trust staff.
If I can just chime in for a moment, I think if it was the board's interest in
just that Microsoft Office suites, and I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate your answer.
And may I just say, it's possible that they might. It's possible that they already came into high school having those skills.
Yeah, I was just looking at those the skills. Are we talking about, now this sounds very antiquated, but certain basic keyboarding skills, is that in terms of using the ability to word process for their classes, is that what part of your three or more software programs?
Many of them do require that, especially in photography and all of these arts. There is writing that goes along with visual images. If you're doing web page design, you need to know how to type and you need to know how to integrate that. So, yes, a lot of these, especially with Word, would include it. Now, are they going to have keyboarding tests?
No. That's what I'm asking, okay. But just the ability to manipulate the keyboard and know the various functions and so forth. Okay. Thank you.
And I think much like our jobs you spoke about, when we go out into our jobs, we've got jobs in all sorts of areas, and especially with ROP, we're preparing students to use technology in these specific areas that then they can go into certain jobs to use. So that's what I mean by broadening the use of technology. We're broadening the skills we're able to develop.
I'd just like to comment that I think the term computer literacy connotes the ability to, if perhaps you leave without, since we're using Excel, I'll use Excel, as one of the three or more software programs, that because the student has attained a level of literacy, that perhaps it will be easier to pick up some of those other programs. Apple Products uses a different spreadsheet program.
Right.
So sometimes some of those are transferable and sometimes they have to be learned, but I'm operating under the assumption that computer literacy will provide the foundation to take away the fear, to have a knowledge of only, students are able to test out the computer apps. Will that remain an option?
Yes.
Okay.
It will remain an option. There are two ways they can take a challenge exam that if they score a certain way gives them credit for computer applications, or if this becomes technology literacy, or they can take a proficiency exam that with a certain score allows that graduation requirement to be waived.
So it's kind of testing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I would just also stress that I don't consider it in my field of expertise at all to, you know, sort of indicate what programs or
right. What
should be considered in the three or more applications or programs that students will learn. So, thank you.
We're gonna go to the public comment. And we have one request, and I would like to acknowledge Calico Randall, who is a reporter and Slo High student for Slo High Expressions, who has been emailing to me about this subject, and I was a little off in my estimate, but I'm glad you were able to be here. And we have one request to speak.
Mr. President, I believe that the speaker wants to speak to the next item on the agenda, which is the change in the graduation requirement.
I thought that's where we were at.
I think we're talking about new and modified courses right now.
No, we
are going to change the... Okay, it's all part and parcel. Okay, sorry.
Well, no, we voted for the modified courses.
Yes, we did. Okay.
I usually do this, not you. hang in there for a minute. Yeah. So do we have
a public comment. Ted Zamorano.
Good evening to the board, Dr. Prater, Mr. Robinette, Mr. Miller, Mrs. Holmes, and of course our Slow High representative, Scott Hicks, and Calico also. Okay, a couple of former students of mine. Okay, a couple of things I want to talk about, and I'll be talking about not eliminating the computer applications requirement, but actually to add other courses to suffice that graduation requirement. I completely understand that. I feel like the cart's before the horse here, and let me explain. The proposed changes to the graduation requirements are a little bit misleading, in my opinion. Changing of graduation requirements should be, I think, a separate... You have those numbers, you have to have the educators to teach those sections. I mean, that's just a numbers game, that's just the way it is. So if the budget's already been proposed and already cut, then pretty much I'm up here talking for nothing, really, but I still want to say my piece and at least explain where I'm coming from. My opinion, I've been in the discussions for the last 3 months with administrators and other teachers also about the graduation requirements. And since our discussions, I've had a little bit more time to reflect upon what we're talking about. And to be honest with you, I've had quite a bit of a change of heart. I really have, and for a lot of reasons. Number one is the proposed courses that we're talking about. Okay, I know what I teach in my class. And they've already got a set curriculum. So if they're going to include, like you're specifying, maybe putting in Excel or a little PowerPoint or whatever it is, okay, what are they going to cut from their curriculum? Are they willing to do that? Are they going to be as successful in teaching their subject matter if they have to implement that? That's the number one thing I want to talk about. The second thing is if they do go ahead and do that, which, you know, I understand they're going to do that, is I don't see any of those teachers here tonight. I'd have loved to have seen them here talking about how they're going to make changes and how they can suffice the requirements. And we're talking about using computer mostly in the classroom and three programs. I could be a little wrong in this matter, but I think the technology standards that the district likes to uphold, a high standard of computer literacy, that the state also is ensuring in our President Mr. Barack Obama also says we need a high level of technology standards in order to be successful, not only in our country, but in the world. So if we don't keep that high standard, I mean, we start to fall instead of progress. And once again, I talked about before, when I was here earlier, I gave Mrs. Holmes a letter to give to you folks, and I'm sure you've got that. And once again, I have to talk to you about this. If you do make the proposed change the district is asking, what happens to kids who haven't already taken computer applications? Are they really going to get the skills that they need, that they've learned, in those other classes? Well, they're going to have to change their curriculum, you know, and they're going to have to change it dramatically. I mean, I know this from experience. I've been teaching computers for 20 years. I've been here at the district for 6, off and on, over the last 12 years. Like I said, what are they going to cut? What are they going to put in? The computer applications course teaches skills that these other courses don't teach. That I do know. I'm sure you can ask, and I'm sure they're pretty good. But I think my survey is pretty much data that shows you that they aren't as well equipped in that area as we'd like to give them. I mean, I think I have facts and I've laid it out to you. So, with that saying, my personal opinion is this. Is I think that we need to have more discussions on this. We need to include the parents in on this. We need to talk to a lot more students and find out if it's really that beneficial. I mean, we've been talking about it over 3 months or so. Is that really enough time to find out if the curriculum is meeting the needs, if these other classes could meet those needs? I mean, I'd like to see maybe another year of discussions on talking about, are we doing the right thing for our kids?
Mr. Salmerano, could you summarize, please?
I surely could. And I know a lot of discussion was they were saying the class is too tough, the class is too much work. Okay, maybe we should be discussing changing our curriculum, not adding those other courses to suffice what we already teach in our class. So I'm hoping that you keep the graduation requirements currently as they stand for maybe at least another year so we can continue these discussions and really get more important information that I think is going to be very beneficial for you to make a educated decision on this matter. I want to thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. And did anyone else want to speak to this item?
I just have...
Is that cool?
Thank you. Appreciate a few minutes. I wasn't planning to speak, but I think I should. When I started as a student at San Luis High School, my dad insisted I take a typing class because typing was important. And so I took the typing class, and we spent, you know, all year learning keyboarding. That's been a good skill for me. Fortunately, my own children have started working in computer labs, doing keyboarding in grade one. And they're there in grade two and three and four and all the way through. So, you know, Mr. Quisenberry asked, well, is this antiquated? That's one of the main problems that we've discussed about our computer application requirement, that it's antiquated. If students are getting to the ninth grade and they can't use Microsoft Word, and they haven't done a PowerPoint presentation, and they haven't been using this software before the ninth grade, we have another problem. And it's that we need to have our kids using this software earlier. The reason that this is important to me as a principal is I work with kids who would love to be in some of these courses that you see or on the screen. Our kids who are English learners, who are struggling with math or other things, and who are in intervention remediation courses that don't necessarily make school more exciting and don't make it more fun, and they're not pulling those kids in and engaging them and making them want to come and be a part of those programs. What we've proposed are programs that are appealing to kids who at the same time help teach them computer literacy skills that are relevant to what they're doing in their life. We're not saying that we should graduate kids who don't know Microsoft. We should be doing that long before they hit ninth grade. So I hope you'll look at this as an opportunity to give more kids access to some of these courses that are very relevant, very important to them. We'll launch them into a different level of understanding and appreciation of technology.
Okay. Anyone else wanted to? Jan?
Hello, Board. It's Jan Fetcho. I teach computer apps and other computer classes at San Luis Obispo High School. What I would like to do right now is I want to read to you word for word the Common Core objectives for the 12th, 11th, 12th, and 9th, 10th grades for technology. It says, use technology, including the Internet, to produce, publish, and update individual or shared writing products, taking advantage of technology's capacity to link to other information and to display information flexibly and dynamically. I think most of those courses up there teach students to do that. And I believe that, as Dan said, a lot of this should be taught at the lower grade levels. My problem right now is, where are the middle school principals and the middle school teachers? Do they know that we're going to chop this class right now and expect that next year they're going to be adding this stuff to their curriculum? Thank you.
Oh, Don. Come on, Don's coming.
Donald Rapucci, Morbay High School. I, too, was not really expecting to talk today, but I do want to point out a couple of things. The kids, as we're moving forward to those kind of models, but more important, my concern is the kids, for example, the ELL students, they're the ones that are missing these skills also. And I see that we're having a hole. And so I don't know the way to solve this necessarily, except we need to do push more down further on, but we need to be aware that a lot of these kids will leave in the next couple of years with a hole in their abilities, even with those classes. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to address the board on this item? All right, we'll bring it back to the board. Dr. Dolkiskamp, would you like an opportunity to maybe respond?
I would like to make a few comments. One is I just needed to clarify that we are not amending any of these courses, that when we sent the list out to our schools so that our principals could discuss this with the teachers in the different departments, what we asked was for them to confirm that those courses would meet these three criteria. There were some that were suggested that we eliminated from the list because we didn't have agreement that they actually would. So we are not planning on making any changes to these courses. We are not wanting to turn any of these courses into what we currently have in ROP computer applications. What we're trying to do is diversify the options so that students at different levels of skills can take a class that will continue to build their technology literacy without being redundant because they already know something, or as English learners have been brought up, without being so complicated and difficult that they can't get it. For example, up there we have Introduction to Computers. It's a course that many times has been taken by English learners, and it does provide an introduction to Word and Excel and so forth, but it does it at a slower pace, not as intense as an ROP class. ROP is supposed to be related right to jobs, so if somebody wants to be a secretary, an administrative assistant, and really wants to know those skills, yes, ROP Computer Applications is a great course to take for that. We just want to be able to provide more variety for students who come to us with different levels of ability. Secondly, a concern has been brought up about, well, what about the other grades and what are they doing to prepare our students? And I just needed you to know that in working with Amelia Samoes, both of our departments and people in place, then it's how do we provide the resources and professional development so that the students can get that instruction.
I want to, excuse me just for a moment, I want to go to Scott.
Are we in discussion? Okay. So my name is Scott Hicks, and I'm a junior right now at San Luis Obispo High School. I did take Mr. Zamorano's computer apps class freshman year, and I will testify that he's a great and a very enthusiastic teacher, and for that part of the class, I enjoyed it. But I will say that you do not retain the skills and knowledge that you do not use. And since freshman year, I have not opened up Excel or Access, which we spent a couple weeks on in both those programs once. I opened up PowerPoint once. And in all my AP classes, I only use Word. And the skills that I use in Word, you can teach someone who's new to computers in an hour. I change the font, I change the margins, and I add a header. That's about it, and that's all I've used. I don't think I'll ever go into a profession where Excel or Access is needed. And if it is, I'll have to relearn it anyway because I don't even know where the program is. And if I need to do something on Word that I don't know off the top of my head, I can get it in 5 seconds with a Google search. And you may think that's bad for the youth, but I mean, it's what it is. It's what we are programmed to do. I really like this idea. I think it's a great progressive and forward-thinking approach to learning technology. And I would have loved to have taken Programming 1 or taken, let's see, jobs freshman year versus computer apps and actually learn things that I'm interested in while getting the technology skills. And I will say I aced Mr. Zamorano's class. And that's not because I was good at these things. It was because I could type fast and I could read the assignment book, which is all you had to do. I typed 90 words per minute by sixth grade, and that was through my elementary school at Los Ranchos. And just being in any of these classes, you'll develop stronger typing skills because you're typing. I mean, you're around the technology. In newspaper, sophomore year, I really enjoyed the atmosphere, and I learned technology that I cared about because I'm outputting my thoughts onto Word, and it's going out to the students, and I typed better. And I didn't need Excel or Access. Never. I never needed it. And I really like this idea. I think it'll open up classes that students are interested in. And when the students are interested, they're more willing to learn. So thank you.
That's just the kind of input we hardly ever get around here, and I appreciate you sticking around to do that for us. I have all the technology I need, Mr. Hunt and Mr. Peck. So I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. It's been a long night.
And the woman who was offering the Math Development Day was saying that the difference between the way teachers think and we're taught in the sequential method, where we think we have to start the foundation and build on the foundation, and the way kids are taught is they grab information as they need it, as Mrs. Dr. Delkiscamp said, and after Scott said, you know, they Google it. They don't know how to do it, they Google it. They find out, they learn it, it's done. They're digital natives. And this will give those students the opportunity to integrate those new skills and move more quickly and be able to accomplish more in high school in terms of what they choose to do with their computer application skills. So I'm very much in favor of this requirement adjustment.
Thanks. I, too, am in favor of this. I had those questions, and then it dawns on me. I was a computer lab tech at Shell Beach for a year and a half. And I was teaching PowerPoint to, I don't know, fourth, fifth, sixth graders. And yes, it's true, they grabbed. And there are certain skills that many of us may not use. But I'm really glad that I asked the questions. It's not that I'm questioning staff's choices, but it did bring forward to me that there's an ed tech plan coming. Which I didn't, sorry, I maybe missed that, but it's coming and I didn't know it. And it did get Dan Andrus out of his chair. And I thought that was good. Sometimes I think asking the questions are good. I'm not sure without asking the questions whether we would have gotten the next Steve Jobs or Bill Gates to answer the questions for me. So I appreciate it. Thanks. And I do support this.
I think it's really interesting because one of the first big losses I remember having on the school board was over this exact issue. And we debated whether we were going to have a computer applications class. It must have been in about the year 2000, maybe 2001. And I was passionate that we should not have the class. What I felt strongly about was that computer application should be taught in all of our classes, that it should be integrated through all the curriculum that we're teaching kids. Instead, we got the computer applications class, which I know helps kids. But one of the arguments that I made at the time, and I still think it rings true, that Dan brought forward was, at Morro Bay High School, it robs kids of an elective. And if I had had Excel when I was a student, my life, I don't know that it would have been different, but it would have made my experience with math a whole lot more pleasurable. And PowerPoint, I'm glad people are learning PowerPoint. Now, if only they could learn how to keep PowerPoints from being so boring. I think Mr. Rapucci, though, and Ms. Fecho, their comments are really important, which is what we're seeing are kids with holes in these skills. And the question for me, Don, I think, nailed it, is are we starting at junior high school? Hopefully at Los Osos Middle School with the STEAM program we'll be able to start doing that. But are we starting even lower at elementary schools? When I hear you say that you can type 90 words a minute, that blows my mind, because a few years ago that would have been what the top typist could type. You know, physically a typewriter couldn't type that fast. So it's amazing to me that you can get that and get your thoughts on paper that quickly and efficiently, and I only wish I could. I'll support this. I am not seeing that we're talking about getting rid of computer applications, but getting more to what I was hoping we'd see 10, 12 years ago, which was how do we infuse it in the rest of the programs for our students. And again, especially at Morro Bay High, where electives are at such a premium.
Thank you, Chris. Well said. Dr. Brader, you had your light on earlier. Have you had second thoughts? And
I just wanted to say, Scott, you're a bright light in a difficult evening. You know, if you're our future, I'm just super excited. And well spoken, well said. I guess what's most interesting about your comments and about the direction our district's going in is this is kind of reminiscent of our cabinet discussions around where we need to see We know Common Core, especially with the new assessment model coming, they're expecting third graders to type their responses in 2 years. And what I'm saying to you is this is a long time coming, and we better hurry up. And the middle school STEAM program in Los Osos is the whole point of that is to address the relevance. It's not because the kids necessarily have holes as much as we have holes. It's our hole. It's our problem, and we need to address it programmatic and demanding in 2 to 3 short years from their high school experience. So this is the tough work in front of us, and it's exciting work, but it's going to require a shift in how we think, and we're ready for it.
Yeah, I have one question. In looking at all this, I was a little surprised I didn't see the principal of San Luis Obispo High School. I see in here is also the changing of the number of credits upward at San Luis Obispo High School from 270 to 280. Is that, she says it's the next thing, but it's in here.
It is the next board item. There's one board item simply about
this?
Having these.
Okay.
This is the options to
all right.
Meet
I'm just looking at the page that says board policy 6146.1, and it includes the computer application change on here too.
Yes,
am I getting ahead of myself? I am.
It's a different
I'm
item.
Sorry.
So, and I had a question about that too. So, the action that you need from us is approval, assuming approval of the courses outline.
To meet that then, computer applications, technology, literacy, graduation requirement.
Okay.
Good. And I'll make that motion.
All right. Motion by Mr. Buckman and a second by Mrs. Eisenrath Rogers. And any further board discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. Thank you. Look forward to your story, Calico. And that's not always the case when we have stories about board meetings. So. And we'll move on to the next item, 9.04, which is a proposed revision to Board Policy 6146.1, High School Graduation Requirements. Dr. Mm-hmm. Dalkaskin.
Thank you. There are just two main edits on the very first page that we'd like to make. One is if you go under course requirements down to number 8, we currently list this as a computer applications graduation requirement, and we'd like to change that requirement to instead read technology literacy and in that way represent the broader scope of the courses that can satisfy that requirement. We crossed out the OR exam. It's lower. If I don't know if we can raise that. We had two tiers. We had some students who only needed 270. But as of the class of 2013, which is this year, all students need at least 280 credits to graduate. And so that's going to become the norm, no longer requiring these two-tiered explanations.
Oops, well, that answers that question. I kind of remember that. We were going to transition to 270 to 280. Let's see, Mark? Oh, do any member of the public wanted to speak on the revision to this board policy on this item? Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board. Thank you, Mark, for that reminder.
No problem. Just real quickly, I know that we're way too busy to do this that I'm about to propose. I just want to lay it out there, and maybe it goes in the ed tech plan, or maybe it just floats out there and plants a seed. State law recently changed, and we are now allowed, on the graduation requirements to replace foreign language and visual and performing arts with a CTE ROP type class. And in light of what's happening in the community, and if we're really ROP supporters and understand that some kids are not going to college and that they're going to do us a much better service in our community to be in the trades, I'm just going to throw it out as a concept that we might want to discuss when we have a lot more time and not doing the budget. So
Thank you for mentioning it. It is on our list of topics to discuss. We just didn't want to bring it without really fully discussing it.
That's good. And any other comments? Okay. So I will move the proposed change to board policy 6146.1 high school graduation requirements.
And I'll second.
Any further discussion? A motion by the chair, second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. Now we'll move to the action consent agenda. The resolution. Thank you. We don't move that one out of order. I forgot that one. Thank you. Maybe it was a Freudian. Forget. Go ahead.
Yep, I get to bring the bad news back up to the front, unfortunately. In light of the budget reductions that the board made tonight, super loud right here, but there are the library media center assistants and the paraeducators. So that top portion of the layoff resolution are those that are affected by the budget reductions. So back in March, we had reductions in terms of certificated staff. It was almost you have to do it before the fact of actually having the board vote, unfortunately, you know, or fortunately. We bring these today. Now, the bottom one is a list of all of our instructional assistants. In the past, they've all gotten noticed. So for them, this is not something that's new because all of those are site, for the most part, 90% of them are site-funded, categorically funded. So they really didn't know until August, September, whether or not they were going to have a job, how many hours. Through our negotiations this year with both CSEA and SEIU, we made some changes in terms of the decrease in hours policy on both of our contracts. So just so that you know, we are still negotiating the effects of layoffs with both of those groups. Jana Crabb and I will be going around to talk to all of the instructional aides starting on Thursday, going to each site to talk about this and the impacts. I will also be having individual meetings with all of the people that are on the top that are part of this layoff resolution, talking about reemployment rights, unemployment, health benefits, and all of those other types of issues that they face. So that will be coming after this resolution.
Thank you. Anyone in the public want to speak to item 8.01? Okay. Understandable sentiment. Thank you. And seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Chris?
Yeah. This is also extremely painful, and I really appreciate Mrs. Rogers for bringing this up at the last discussion we had on the superintendent's budget cuts. I do want to acknowledge the comments from the people from Instructional Services, Tech Services and Technology who came and spoke before us earlier this evening. And they expressed some specific or deep concerns about our ability to continue to provide those services. I know that we've gone forward with the superintendent recommendation. I'd like to be assured that their fears will not come true, that when teachers have problems with their computers, they're able to call.
Yeah, and I'm fully, fully aware and conscious of what's going on there. And we're going to work double time on making sure lines of communication, a good solid plan. When you consolidate two departments into one, that's no easy task in terms of the leadership. So we're going to take that. We are taking that very seriously. It's very difficult because we adore and appreciate Ms. Simos. She's been remarkably professional, and we're going to continue to design the systems that we need to design to make sure it all works, just like we are with elementary counselors. We'll make it work. Everyone's going to feel this.
Thank you, Dr. Peter. Jim?
Well, again, I would like to thank Marilyn Roger for her comments regarding the classified workers. First of all, I want to commend almost every bus driver I've met in this district as a coach that went with teams on buses, as a parent who had children ride the buses to and from school, and as a teacher working with students who are brought to school safely and are welcomed by bus drivers who have a relationship with them, and the bus drivers for making sure this is all done safely and expeditiously. I also want to mention that teachers develop great rapport with custodians, and my experience at Morrobey High, I'm sure, is indicative of most high schools. They've had a great custodial staff, and these people work very hard, and I just want to acknowledge that they make a significant contribution to the whole educational team. So,
well said, Jim. Mark?
Thank you. I have to say this is incredibly painful as well for me to be looking at these cuts. And I will tell you that I've gotten letters and comments on this as well. And I want to recognize the fact that these people, the bus drivers, are the first people that the children see in the morning and the last people they see on their way home.
Number 15, 12, 13 to reduce classified school services.
Okay.
I will make said motion.
Unless you want to snatch it right out of my mouth.
Well, I saw your light on, but I looked toward you and you weren't. So go ahead.
Everyone knows how I feel, so I'll go ahead and move the resolution. Move adoption of resolution 15-12-13.
And I'll second. I was trying to relieve you of that. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Passes 7-0.
Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for being here and providing input on this, and also for providing a reminder of just how hard all this is. We'll move on to the action consent agenda. Please let me know what items you would like to have pulled. Item 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, disposition of surplus property. 10.03, acceptance of donations. 10.03. 10.04, approval of purchase orders. 10.05, action on claim against the district by Jess D. Braswell. Pardon the pronunciation. 10.06, action on a claim against the district, R.J. McGinnis. And I'll entertain a motion on items 10.01 through, except for 10.03, through 10.06.
I'll move approval of all items other than 10.03 at this time.
Well said. And I will second. And any discussion on the items that on those action extended items? No. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. 10.03. Mark.
Really quickly, on the donations, it just jumped out at me that Del Mar received $348 from the Bureau of Land Management, and I don't know if anybody here can answer that tonight, but it just. Anyway, I move to adopt item 1.03 on the consent agenda, and somewhere I will call Del Mar and ask what's going on. Thank you.
Marilyn?
We have the master calendar, Mrs. Holmes and I were discussing that there are two dates in July that we've reserved for our retreat, and maybe if we have the opportunity to narrow that down to one date, we could all plan our vacations. That was a thought. So the two dates are the 9th and the 24th, 3rd, that were we reserved.
Saturday?
City Navigator
And then we'll check at the same time.
9th and the 16th, I thought. Oh, it's 2 weeks of 9th.
Oh, no, you're right.
9th and the 16th. 9th or the 16th.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought the email from Kim said the 23rd.
I think I did, but if I were to pull up this calendar stops at June 30th. And the dates that we're looking at are the dates that were in the calendar of board meetings that we adopted in December that run from December to December. So it includes this summer. And yeah, they're just there for the sake of discussion. So whatever is your preference, we'll do.
I'm good. I would be good for either of those dates. I'd probably prefer the 9th, but
I would as well.
I'm okay with either date. I usually try to reserve Bastille Day. I'm okay with that.
I'm leaning toward the 16th. I need to check. I may be on Kauai. I don't know. I'll have to double check on the date there, but I think we're back by that time, but I'm not sure.
I move that we have the meeting wherever Jim is.
Okay, I have no plans, so I can accommodate whatever date's chosen.
We don't have to commit to this tonight. It's just here. So if those of you who have things that you're not sure of can check on that, we can try and pin it down perhaps at the next meeting.
Okay. Reports by board members. Oh, I'm sorry. Any other items on advanced agenda? Okay. We'll move on to reports by board members. Mark?
I was able to attend the Los Osos Middle School, and it's at the Community Advisory Group. Is that the community? The Los Osos Middle School Steering Committee was not able to attend the entire meeting, but
thank you.
Chris?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to go to the PB open house, like probably a lot of you, and then the Monarch Grove open house, which was always really fun. And just something I talked to Deputy Correa there, and the Sheriff's Department is doing a summer camp this summer. I'm not sure what the dates are, but they're having one of the camps at the coast for a week up in Cayucas, and so just put that out there. If you're interested, you probably could contact any of the local elementary schools on the coast, and they get you in touch with Deputy Correa.
Yeah. And I should know that I believe it's the 26th, and I'm sitting on the committee that's helping put that together. So thank you, Chris, for reminding me. And I should have the posters that I was going to hand out. Flyers are in my car, so I'll give those to Kim to get out to the board. Thank you.
And the open house for Loam Steam is tomorrow at 5?
Thursday
at 5. Okay.
Ribbon cutting's at 5.
At 5, okay. Thursday at 5. Okay. I'm gonna sleep in tomorrow. I'm tired. Anything else good to the cause, Jim?
Just to say that I also went to the Pacific Beach Open House, and I think we all did.
Yeah.
Not one of us missed that. Got also the Monarch Grove Open House, but I did get to celebrate a birthday, I think a 6th birthday, at Monarch Grove Kindergarten. And that's a lot of fun to watch to watch 6-year-olds celebrate birthdays. It was really nice. So anyway, that's my report.
All right. Thank you all, and we will see you on April 23rd. No, we won't. We will